The question is what does it take to get our attention and hold it on the really important things in life? In this chapter in James, chapter 4, our series is called How Faith Works. And what we've been talking about in this chapter is this word called worldliness. If you want to know what worldliness is, defined in action, then go to Galatians chapter 5 and speaks about the works of the flesh are, and it names like 15 or 16 things that constitute or make up what's considered worldliness. And if you're engaged in those things on a regular basis, the Bible says you're not being spiritual. I'm not being spiritual. But it does name 9 things that it calls the fruit of the Spirit, and those are the important things in God's eyes. He says they're not illegal, they're not immoral, and everybody should do them. But what does it take to get us to think that way and to talk that way and to live that way? This chapter is broken down like this. It talks about the cause of worldliness. It talks about it has consequences. It talks about it has a cure, and it even describes its characteristics. And when we are sick, we go to the doctor, and he determines, based on our symptoms, what's wrong with us. And once he recognizes what's wrong with us, he prescribes a cure. And that's where the fun starts with a lot of people. There are some people who don't like being sick. There are some people who don't like doctors. There are some people who don't like doctors more than they don't like being sick. And because they don't like doctors more than they don't like being sick, even though they know they're sick and should go to the doctor, they're not going. And the only way you're going to get them to go to the doctor is if you're ready to grab them and carry them by six and plant them in the ground. Then, when they're almost at death's door and they're hearing that little knock, they say, well, maybe I should go to the doctor. Now, there are people who go to the doctor and they get medicine from the doctor and they won't take the medicine from the doctor. There are people who know what's wrong with them and they don't care. There are people who don't want to know what's wrong with them and they do care. But they're afraid to find out because it's going to be bad news. And they don't think they're going to be able to handle it. Well, the believer has this comfort and consolation from God. The Bible teaches us that God will never put more on us in terms of a burden than we are able to bear. The Bible teaches us that God will never place anything in our lives that He has not equipped us to handle. Jesus made this statement in Matthew, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He tells us in those verses that He is a heavy burden carrier. He is a heavy load sharer. He says, if you come to me, my burdens are easy and my way is light. And if you just walk with me step by step, I'll take you through, I'll help you make it, I'll see you through to the other side. You and I will get through life together. A lot of us raise our children to be independent. Because when they're 30 years old, you don't want them still living in your house. You want them to be out there living in their own house. Maybe thinking about taking care of you when you get to be 75. But the idea is we raise our children to be independent, to take care of themselves. But that is completely opposite to what God says to us as His children, because He never wants us to get to the point where we walk around and think, I don't need God. I've got all the answers. I've got it figured out. So this thing about being sick and the attitudes that people have, it's the choice of believing that, you know, that I don't know what's wrong with me and I don't want to know what's wrong with me, so I'm just going to keep pretending that there's nothing wrong with me. So you've got some people that even though you give them medicine, they won't take it. They know they've been to the doctor, they know the consequences, they know what's wrong with them, but they still won't take the medicine. My grandmother used to say about my grandfather, you know, if it wasn't for me, your grandfather wouldn't go to the doctor, your grandfather wouldn't go, he won't even go get his own medicine, and he sure enough won't take it. Unless I tell him every day, take this, the doctor said, you're supposed to take it, he wouldn't take it. And there are people like that when it comes to living the Christian life. They don't consider what God has said. They may know what God has said, but that doesn't mean anything any more than today is Tuesday. I don't care what day it is. In James chapter 4, we find these words in verses 13 through 17. And this takes us to the end of the chapter. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such boasting is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I would like for you to think with me on this thought. It's actually in the form of a question. Did you consider God? Do you consider God? What are you talking about? I'm sitting here in church. Well, you're thinking about God right now. Because we're sitting here and we're talking about Him. Which goes back to my first question. What does it take to get our attention and to hold it on God so that we're thinking about Him and His way of looking at life once we walk out this door? What will it take? What has it taken to get our attention focused on God, that when we rise up in the morning, we're thinking about God. When we go to bed in the evening, we're thinking about God. And all during the day, no matter what happens to us, good or bad, expected or unexpected, planned or unplanned, we're thinking about God. Because we're looking at life from His perspective. Do we consider God? What do you mean, do we consider God? It means, do we think about Him and what He wants and what He's got planned for our lives? Today! Tomorrow! Next week, next year, do we consider that at all? And what he's saying is, here's what worldliness does. It causes for the believer a forgetfulness of God. Lying is wrong. You know it's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. It's in the top 10 of things up on the wall that says it's wrong to lie. But you go to work and you're in a situation where compromise is the order of the day. So do you lie and get along, or do you tell the truth and upset someone? Or you say, well, I got to work with these people. You don't understand. Oh, yes, I understand. You got to work with these people. Well, I'm just trying to get along. Really? So if it takes a lie to get through the day, then lying is the order of the day. But did you consider God when you decided to lie? Or whatever else it is we decide to do, do we consider God? Now, the unbeliever, the person who's worldly, they don't care anything about God. How do I know that? Do you see empty seats beside you? Do you see chairs down the aisle? Do you see people standing outside saying, they got any more room in there? We want to hear about God. They don't care anything about God. The Bible says that man in his unforgiven state doesn't want to know or care anything about God. That's the last and the least thing on his mind. And he says, so what happens is you've got this interesting mindset that you find in these verses. He says, you know, come now and say, as people do, we're going on a trip. Oh, really? Where are you going? We're going down to Hawaii. What are you going to do down there? Well, we're going to set up a business. We're going to build a house. We're going to make money. How long are you going to be down there? Well, a couple years. You know, it's expensive to live in Hawaii, so if we do it right, we can make a killing down there because we've got a plan. You've got a plan. Yeah. It's worked over there in Florida. It's worked over there in California where it's warm and sunny. People like to get away. Yeah, we're going to do it. You got a plan. Okay. So you're going to go down there and do what you're going to do. You're going to buy and you're going to sell and you're going to make money. That's right. Because we're looking for the easy life, baby. We've got a ship coming in and it's got our name on the hull. And it's called the easy life called retirement. We're going to work hard for a little while and we're going to take our money and sit down. We're going to earn what we can what we earn, and then sit on the can and live the good life. Okay? There's something I want you to consider. What's that? Tomorrow. What about tomorrow? Well, the writer of James says, do you ever think about your life and what it actually means? Well, yeah, I got my life all planned out. From whose perspective? Well, from mine. And have you ever given any thought to what God wants to do in your life? What do I need God for?
Well, you might want to consider how God looks at your life. You notice some days in the evening when it's hot and humid that when you're driving home at night, you've got this thing called fog. And when you get up in the morning, you've got this thing called fog. And if you live out here by the lake, you've got this thing called fog. And sometimes it's so thick you can reach out and touch it and you can't see anything. It's maybe even 10 feet in front of you. It's like this little mist that appears for a time, but when the sun comes up and hits about noon, it all goes away. Yeah. Well, God says your life is a whole lot like that. It just appears for a little while. And then it's gone. There are other analogies that it's used to describe our lives. It said our life is like grass. It grows, it turns green, and then the sun comes out. Have you ever seen plants that you buy that you didn't get a chance to put in the ground and you forgot to water? Many's the time I bought tomato plants intending to put them all in little rows and stake them up and everything, and I got busy doing this and doing that, and I almost forgot that I had the plants. Well, sometimes I have forgotten I got the plants. When we had Earth Day, many's the year I bring my trees home. Gonna plant those pine trees! Gonna plant those pine trees! Wonder where that pine... Oh my goodness, look at that pine tree. It's dead. It's brown. It's lifeless. And sometimes my tomato plants are dead and brown and lifeless because I forgot that they need something to keep them going. And he says, our life is like grass. It's like something that just appears for a time, and then when the heat of the day sucks all the moisture out of it, it dies. He says, your life is like a vapor. It's here, and then it's gone. So you know what? Really, there is someone unseen who knows everything about you, who has all power to control everything that happens in your life. What are you talking about? His name's God. God. Yeah, God. The one that created the world. You know the Genesis story, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? Yeah, I heard that stuff as a kid, but I've been to school and I know it's just not true. I'm an evolutionist. Really? Oh yeah, there's a cause for everything. Things, you know, the Big Bang Theory, things, I can explain it all to you. Really? You know, the dinosaurs and, you know, survival of the fittest. I can explain all to you how it all came to be. Okay. There's no God. So there's no God that you know of. No, there's no God. Well, the Bible says there is a God, and you need to think about Him because He's the one that controls your life. What do you mean He controls my life? Take a deep breath. Hold it. Let it out. What'd you just do? I was breathing. And that's considered what? Well, when I went to science class, I said that's an involuntary function. It's automatic. It just happens. Really? What about your heart? It beats. It beats. Yeah? Do you have to do anything to make it beat? No. It just beats on its own. How long has it been beating? Since before I was conceived in my mother's womb. And how long is it going to beat? Until it stops. Why would it stop? I guess it gets older, gets wore out. Well, you ever seen people that have trouble with their lungs? Yes. You ever seen trouble that people have trouble breathing? Yes. You ever seen people that have trouble with their heart? Yes. Are they all old people? No. Well, I'm telling you that, you know, you may think that nothing has to happen, but if God doesn't say yes, you're not going to get the next breath, and you're not going to get the next heartbeat, because God's the one that holds your life in His hand. And if He says, that's it, you're done. Well, they can bring me back. They've got all kinds of things. They can put me on the table and put the old card on me and give me the old paddles and give me a shock. And if God says, that's it, that's it. And my point is, if God says, that's it, you need to think about what you're doing with your days. Because our lives are not our own. The Christian is taught that the Bible says that we were bought with the price. Our lives are not our own. That Jesus Christ died to redeem us. He paid the price to bring us and buy us back for Himself to be used for Him. So for us to get up and walk like the unbeliever, there's something wrong with that. What do you mean? If you can go through the week, if you can go through the day, and you never stop and think about God, if you never stop and pray, if you never have a desire to read your Bible, if you never have a desire to be around Christians, if you act just like the people that live beside you that know anything about God, and the only way you can tell that supposedly you're a Christian and that they're not is you've got a little fish on your bumper, or you have a Bible that you set on your coffee table, but in terms of everything else in your life, there's no difference. You never think about God any more than they do. You think about anything and everything except God, there's a problem. He says, we ought to say this, because this is the way it really works. If God wills, we'll go to Hawaii. If God wills, we'll start a business. If God wills, we'll make money. If God wills, we'll have a good time. If God wills, we'll be safe. So what are you saying? When somebody doesn't have a plan that goes well, when somebody gets sick or has an accident or whatever, are you saying that that's God? Of course. God allows everything to happen and nothing takes Him by surprise. And you know, sometimes the question I ask is, what does it take? For those of us who say that we're Christians but don't want to live or act like it, you know, it's like you having a child who is your flesh and blood, but this person acts like they don't know you. You take them out in public and they want nothing to do with you. And you say to your son, "Where are you?" "I'm going to hang out over there." "Why?"
"Because I don't want to be seen with you."
"Why?"
"Because I don't want anybody to know that I'm related to you."
Sometimes we act like that with God. Well, you know, when you have a child that acts like that, you're going to have a little talk, aren't you? You're going to have to adjust that attitude just a hair to bring them around to the right way of thinking. And sometimes the things that happen into our lives that we consider bad happen for the reason that God's trying to get our attention. Because if some things had not happened in our lives, we would never think about God. And sometimes we get things that don't go away. We get burdens, we get illnesses, we get injuries, we get all kinds of negative things we think that are in our lives. And you know what happens when those things happen? All of a sudden, we're looking at life from God's perspective. All of a sudden, we're interested in what God has to say about life. All of a sudden, we're doing something we may not have done for years. We get down on our knees. We bow our head. We realize that if it wasn't for God, we're not going to make it. And we pray. And we start talking to God in a way we've never talked to Him before. But we're funny people. The sickness, the illness, the problem goes away. We get back up. "I'm okay. I'm back on my feet. I'm well. I'm passing my classes. I'm doing well in school. My friends are liking me. I'm doing good on my job. My wife is loving me. My husband's taking care of me. My children are being good." And you know what? All of a sudden, God goes out of the picture because it's all about me, mine, us four, no more, and everything is going well in my life, and God says, "Hey, I thought I got through to you. Maybe you need round two, round three, round four. What does it take for us to get our attention focused on God?" I can't tell you what it is in your life. I can tell you what it is in my life. I tell people, I have a sleep disorder. In fact, I have three of them. And I say, I thank God that I have them. "Well, why would you want to be sick?" "I don't want to be sick." "Well, what are you thankful for?" "I am thankful for this. If I did not have what is wrong with me, I would not do what I know I should do." You see, I have a problem. I know its causes. I know its cure. I know its consequences. And it's up to me, because I went to the doctor on Monday. He said, "So how are you doing?" And I said, "I will tell you the same thing I tell you every time I come in here. The ball is in my court." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I know what's wrong with me. I know what I should do. I know what I have to do. And I know what I need to do. Now, if I choose not to, I know the consequences." In our lives, if we choose not to live for God, there's consequences. When you plant something out on the other side of that fence, I think you're expecting something to happen. Or you're just out driving around in your tractor, throwing seed out because you got nothing else to do all day. "What are you doing out there?" "Oh, just throwing seed out." "Why?" "You know, I had nothing to do this morning. No cows to feed, nothing to fix in the barn. You know, nothing at home he's fixing. I had nothing to do, so I thought I'd just spend a little money putting this seed in this tractor and go out and just throw around." "Were you expecting?" "No, I'm not expecting anything to happen. I'm just out here having a good time." "Really? How long have you been farming?" 50 years. "Anything happen when you plant that seed?" "Oh, I don't worry about it." "Really?" There are consequences to everything that you and I do. There are consequences when we choose to follow Christ. There are blessings that go with that. There is correction when we don't follow Christ and He wants to get our attention. But my point is when we do things, something's going to happen. What does it take for God to get our attention? So, if I do what I'm supposed to do, everything goes well. I'm awake during the day. I go to sleep at night. I'm awake during the day. I go to sleep at night. I can drive during the day without people going, "I was driving yesterday." Somebody said, "You're going to ride with him? Do you know what kind of record he's got? My goodness." And the person says, "Yeah, I know all about it." My kind of person. No fear. Of course, they were young. But anyway, if I do what I'm supposed to do, everything's fine. And when I don't, I suffer the consequences. And my point is simply this. Each of you sitting here, when we know what God has called us to be and God has called us to do, and we do it, there's consequences. Blessings or curses. But it's up to us.
But the point is I say I'm thankful for what's wrong with me because I would not take as good a care of myself as I have to if I didn't think I had to worry about it. I'd be like a lot of you, taking things to excesses, taking things to extreme, not eating right, not sleeping right, not getting my rest. All this kind of stuff, just doing whatever I want to do because I want to do it. Not that it's a good thing, but because it's what I want to do. And the Bible says that's not the way God wants us to live. He wants us to consider Him in everything that we do. And we should always say, if the Lord wills. Now, when stuff happens in your life, do you ever sit there and say, I don't know why that happened? Or do you simply say to yourself, I know why that happened? Now, if the truth would be told, some of us know why this stuff happens to us. It happens because we made bad choices. Sometimes people we know that we're related to make bad choices. Sometimes people we work with make bad choices. Sometimes people we live around make bad choices. And when people make bad choices and make choices that are sinful, there are consequences. And sometimes it's us and sometimes it's people around us. But when things happen, let's not act like we don't know why. We do know why. Sometimes. But sometimes God is trying to get our attention. So if we say the Lord will, you know, if you get a flat tire and you're late to work, you go, I don't know why I got a flat tire. And then you find out that if you'd been on 50 out there at the restaurant at exactly 4:30 in the afternoon, that would have been you in the head-on collision instead of the person that was actually in the head-on collision. So you sometimes figure out later on why. Some stuff that happens to us, we will not know until we get on the other side with God. And then we're going to look at our lives and go, oh. It's like your parents now. You know, when you were growing up, your father said this, your mother said that, and now that you're the one saying it, you go, oh. You know, as I tell young people, when you're in the house growing up, Miss Emmy, you know what happens, but you don't always know why. And it may not be until you're much older and have children of your own that you'll go, oh, I understand now. So God is moving in our lives because He's always teaching and wants us to do something. You know, what the point of this is that we need to realize that we need to depend on God for all of our future plans. I'm sure that many of you are planning on getting in your car and going home. Hopefully all of you will make it, if the Lord's will. If He doesn't will and you don't make it, that's also in His will. Does that mean that everything's always supposed to be happening in our lives that's good? Romans 8 doesn't say this. It says, all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose, to those who love the Lord. It doesn't say everything that happens in our lives is going to be good. It says it's all working for our good. Do you consider God? Consider the fact that God always has our best interests at heart. And when we go out and mess it up, sometimes we're not going to get the best. We're going to get second best or next best. But you know, if we let God do the leading and guiding, we will always get His best. Those of you who are parents, what do you want for your children, Miss Annette? Those two people sitting behind you, you hope that they're failures. You hope that they have a horrible life. You hope that they struggle and they're poor and they're like Job's turkey, don't have two nickels to rub together. That their lives are just despairing and despondent and discouraging and depressing. That's what you want for them, isn't it? No. You want the best for your children. And that's the same thing that God wants for us. He wants to give us His best. Can you make somebody take what you want to give them? How many times has somebody given you a present? Thank you. They always say thank you. Now, I have a different philosophy when I cook for people. Make me a pie. I said, here's the pie. Oh, thank you. I said, don't say thank you. Eat the pie. Eat the cake. Eat the cookies. Then the next time you see me, come back and tell me, did you like it? Now, if you like it and you're thankful, I believe you. But just because, thank you, that don't mean anything to me because you could be lying through your teeth. As soon as I leave, you go, where's the trash can? Boom! Thank you. But with God, we don't have to worry because it's always His best. I may have intended to give you a good pie, but I have messed it up because I forgot to put something in. Or I left something out. So it's supposed to be sweet, and you're going, what kind of joker does this guy think he is? This is not a sweet cherry pie.
I mean, my lips are going to be puckered so tight I'm going to need a jack to get them open. But with God, He's always got our best interest at heart. And what He's simply saying is we should always live our lives in the will of God. God, what do you want me to do today? What are you going to do in my life? What is your will and purpose for me today? Whatever it is, I trust you to bring me through. And for that, I'm going to give you thanks. No matter what it is, I'm going to give you thanks. Because when we can learn to praise God even when the clouds are overcast and the rain is falling, it's easy to praise God when the sun is shining. You're happier. People are so conditioned to sunshine. You go in the business, you go in the bank.
How are you? It's raining outside.
And?
I'm not having a good day.
Why?
It's raining outside.
So what? I said, well, there's sunshine behind the clouds.
Not out there.
Here's his last point. He says, but now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such boasting is evil. Because it's so short-sighted of a man or woman to live life and think that just because you decide it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And he closes out by saying this. He says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. You can sin two ways today. You can have sins of commission. You can have sins of omission. What's the difference? Commission means you know it's wrong before you do it. And you do it anyhow. Omission means it's something that you should have done. It's something I should have done. God is telling you, pressing on your mind and your spirit, you need to go visit so-and-so. You need to say such-and-such to so-and-so. You need to give them something. You need to do something for them. And you go, what was that? I'm going to forget that. And then you find out they die. And you're sitting there beating yourself up. You know I should have gone. The Lord told me to go. And you didn't do it. So we can be guilty of doing things because we know they're wrong, and we can be guilty of doing things that we should do but never do them. You know you should volunteer. You know you should be in this. You know you should be, but I don't want to. It's not a question of you wanting to. It's not a question of me wanting to, because one little word, will. God's will, our will. Which one are we going to follow? If we follow our will, we run around and say, I'm the big cheese. I'm the head kahuna. I'm the one that did it all. People are like that. People forget about God. Why? Because life is good. Nebuchadnezzar, up on the porch, hanging gardens of Babylon. Look what I've done! I'm the one that built all this. It all belongs to me. And God says, you're a fool. Jesus tells a story about the man, the rich man, the farmer. You can relate to that. Bumper crop. Mega crop. More crop than he's got time to do with. He's, I'm just, you know what? Things are so good. I'm going to tear down these little itty-bitty barns. I'm going to build these great big barns. I'm going to put everything in the barns. I'm going to sit back in Fat City, get me a cigar, and say, take it easy, baby. I'm living in the good life now. I don't have anything to worry about. It's all good. And God says, you're a fool. Because don't you know, this night, your life is going to be required of you. When we live life without God, the Bible says, we are foolish. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Our lives are not our own. We were bought with a price. The Gatorade commercials say, live life, play hard. The Bible says, live life, pray hard. Because prayer reminds us of the fact that we are dependent on God and our lives are not our own. We are here to seek and to serve him. There may be somebody here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ. So you're saying, what does that have to do with me? What I'm simply saying is you can't say any more than the rest of us can what's going to happen in your life once you walk out this door. But if you walk out this door without saying yes to Christ, you're making a decision and you're choosing not to choose. And the Bible says, here's the consequences of not choosing. Faith in Christ means I recognize I'm a sinner. I need God in my life because He can do for me what I can't do for myself. I was born with a disease called S-I-N. Selfish in nature. Sin. It separates me from God and it causes all the problems I have in my life. You want to know what's wrong with your life? Why things don't work right? Because you've got sin in your life. But Jesus said, I come to take care of that problem. I am the cure. Because you see, the only way you're going to take care of your problem is you're going to have to die for your sins. But I went to the cross and I took your place. Because I'm the only one that's ever been born that has never sinned. And when God sent me here, He sent me to take the place of all those people who are messed up. And that's me, and that's you.
But God says, you know what? There's consequences. Just like planting seeds out there in that field. If you choose to walk out of here and say no to eternal life, the Bible says everybody's going to spend it somewhere. Where do you and I want to spend it? If we believe in Christ and believe that His Son died on the cross for our sins, He took our place, and we have faith in that, believe that He got up on that third day, that Sunday morning, the Bible says we have what's called eternal life. But if we choose not to do that and spend it with Him, there's a place, not made for man, but a place called hell, which is real. You hear it talked about all week. Hell this, hell that, hell no. People don't know what they're talking about, but there is a place called hell. And the Bible said it was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was never his intention that man should go there. But if a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl says no to Christ, when the day of judgment comes, that's where you will be. Well, I'll be down there with all my friends. You're not going to be down there with all your friends. You're not going to be down there having a party. You're not going to be down there having a good time. The Bible says it is a place of darkness. It is a place of weeping and gnashing with their sorrow, of people grinding their teeth and looking at, you know what hell is for some people? Looking at everything you could have had and realize you're never going to get it. So to spend eternity looking over and seeing what could have been yours if you hadn't been so foolish and stubborn and said yes to Christ, but you wanted to do it like Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. And if your way is going to take you straight to hell, then maybe you and I should think twice about doing it our way and do it His way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for what You've done. We ask, Father, that all of us will make the decision to say yes to You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.